Chapter 50 Harry tumbled out of the flue, glaring as Tonks laughed at his clumsy entrance. She laughed even harder as Draco stepped out neatly behind him and spelled the soot off of Harry and himself without a thought. Harry smiled reluctantly. "Glad I could amuse you," he said. She grinned unrepentantly. He glanced around the office, nodding to Kingsley. "What's going on?" he asked. "Everyone is in the Great Hall," Kingsley informed him. "Severus will explain the situation." Harry frowned at them both irritably, moving out of the way as the Slytherins started to gather. "Don't give me that look," Tonks said, wagging her finger at him, still grinning. "I have no idea what Severus is up to. I'm just here to escort this lot." Harry's frown deepened. "Why does Severus always have to be so difficult?"
"I believe he asks the same thing about you," Kingsley said in amusement.
"Do you know what's going on?" Harry asked. Kingsley nodded.
"I do. However, Severus wishes to speak with you first, before we do anything else."
"In other words, it's not something I'm going to like," Harry muttered. "Whatever it is, he knows you'll just brush off anyone else," Draco agreed. Harry scowled as Kingsley smiled, not denying it. "You're gaining quite a reputation," Tonks practically sing-songed, clearly enjoying herself. "No one messes with Harry Potter." Harry stared at her, not sure how to feel about that.
"We'll be down in a minute," Draco said. Confused, Harry watched as Kingsley nodded understandingly before he and Tonks ushered the Slytherins out of the office and down to the Great Hall.
"They just left us alone in the headmistress's office," Harry said in bemusement.
"That's because they trust you," Draco said quietly. "Harry, it's not a bad reputation that you've gained."
Harry bit his lip, thinking about what Tonks had said.
"Then why do I suddenly feel like a bully?" he asked.
"Because you don't allow anyone to get in the way of what you know is right," Draco said. "It doesn't mean that you bully them, though. You don't force anyone to do anything. Exactly the opposite. You don't fight to bring people down. You fight for justice and freedom and all those other good things."
"Draco is correct, Harry." Startled, Harry and Draco turned to look at the portrait that had spoken.
"You've become a true leader," Dumbledore said kindly. "You may still be a bit unpolished. Perhaps in time you will learn patience. But you've treated people with kindness and respect, earning their respect in return. You love with a fierceness and purity of spirit that is seeing you, and so many others, through these difficult times. You've done admirably, Harry."
"Thank you, sir," Harry said softly.
The gargoyle moved aside, and Harry and Draco stepped out into the corridor. Harry blinked in surprise to see Crabbe and Goyle.
"What are you still doing up here?" he asked.
"The minister said we could wait for you," Crabbe said. "We'll watch your back," Goyle added.
"It's not like we're going to be attacked in the empty corridors," Harry protested. They simply shrugged.
Harry turned to Draco, unsure of what the hell to do. Draco was smirking widely.
"Just accept it, Harry," he drawled. "It'll be easier."
Harry sighed in resignation, and then started walking, Draco beside him and Crabbe and Goyle one step behind on either side of them.
"We're not bloody royalty," Harry muttered under his breath.
"You are," Draco said matter-of-factly.
"I am not," Harry protested.
"Close enough," Draco said. Harry continued to mutter about the bizarreness of it all until they reached the main staircase. He stopped and exchanged glances with Draco. They could hear the noise coming from the Great Hall. There was a lot more people than just the neutral Slytherins in that room. Squaring their shoulders, Harry and Draco strode into the Great Hall, unprepared for what they saw. The neutral Slytherins were sitting at the Ravenclaw table. The other Slytherins were skulking at their house table. There was a group of mixed students at the Gryffindor table, and order members and aurors at the Hufflepuff table. At the head table sat the usual group from Grimmauld Place, plus McGonagall, Kingsley, Tonks, and Moody.
"Draco!" They suddenly had the attention of everyone in the room. No one stopped Pansy as she ran across the room and attempted to launch herself at Draco. Crab and Goyle moved forward, blocking her. Harry stepped back and watched with raised eyebrows and crossed arms. Pansy blinked in astonishment before attempting to slither between Crab and Goyle.
"Get out of the way, you great ugly brutes!" she snapped angrily.
Harry nodded at them, and they stepped aside. He wanted to see what would happen.
"Oh, Draco, I'm so happy to see you," she gushed. "I've been so worried, and now they've locked us all in here. It's horrible,"
she finished in a wail. "Back off, Pansy," Draco snarled. Harry shuddered. "Fucking hell," he muttered, changing his mind. He'd seen enough. "I'm glad it's you that has to deal with her, and not me. I'm going to go talk to Severus," he said, starting to walk away.
"Potter, get your arse back here," Draco snapped.
"Such sweet talk," Harry said sarcastically.
"Potter?"
Pansy exclaimed. "Why would you want him?" She frowned, suddenly realizing something that she'd missed in her excitement of seeing Draco.
"And why did you come in with him anyway?"
She rounded on Harry.
"You've been keeping Draco prisoner," she shrieked.
He rolled his eyes. "Draco's not my prisoner," he said. He glanced at Draco questioningly, receiving a nod in answer. "He's my boyfriend," he said with a smug smirk. Pansy's eyes grew round. "It's true," Draco drawled. He drew close to Harry and dropped a light kiss on his mouth. Neither really wanted to take their eyes off Pansy, not wanting to be hexed, even if they did have Crab and Goyle as backup. They didn't have to worry about it, as Pansy fainted.
"Well, that's one way to quiet her," Draco said, staring down at her. They hadn't attempted to ease her fall, but she didn't appear to be badly injured.
Madame Pomfrey came bustling towards them.
"I expect better behavior from the two of you," she said with disapproval.
"From me?" Draco asked in disbelief.
To her credit, she only hesitated for a second as she kneeled to tend to Pansy.
"Yes," she said firmly. "You are a gentleman, are you not, Mr. Malfoy?"
Harry sniggered until she shot a stern glare up at him.
"And you, Mr. Potter, are a Gryffindor. Now run along, all of you."
They exchanged glances before stepping around Madame Pomfrey and Pansy, the latter still out cold on the floor.
"Go sit with Blaise," Draco ordered Crab and Goyle.
Harry stared incredulously when they looked to him for approval. He scrubbed both hands down his face before waving one hand dismissively, sending them lumbering to the Ravenclaw table.
"This is abso-fucking-lutely ridiculous, Draco," Harry hissed. "You've trained them so well that they can't do anything without permission now, and they're wanting that approval from me."
"I did talk to them, you know," Draco said, clearly attempting to suppress his laughter. "They just happen to think you're nicer and you have more power."
I'm going to throttle you," Harry threatened.
"Bad time to punish me, as you need me today," Draco drawled pleasantly. "And, just so you know, you're causing a scene." Harry's nostrils flared. He grasped the front of Draco's robes and pulled him down, giving him a quick, hard kiss before releasing him.
"I hate you," he said, spinning on his heel and striding to the front of the room, Draco falling into step beside him.
"You love me," Draco corrected.
"That too," Harry agreed.
He glanced over at the Gryffindor table as he walked, and realized that it was the members of the DA that were sitting there. Ron, Hermione, Ginny, and the twins appeared to have filled them in about him and Draco, because they didn't appear to be quite as shocked as they could be at the sight of Harry and Draco together. Unlike the Slytherins at their house table, anger, shock, and betrayal was written on every one of their faces, and not all of it was directed at Draco and Harry. Fierce glares were also being directed at the neutral Slytherins at the next table. Out of them all, Nott looked to be the most dangerous, glaring malevolently at Harry. Everyone was watching closely when they reached the head table, rearranged so that there were chairs on both sides.
"Why is the DA here?" Harry demanded before anyone else could speak.
"Sit down," Severus ordered,
ignoring Harry's question. "Can you at least tell me why we're using the head table in the Great Hall as a bloody conference table?" Harry asked impatiently.
"It is the best place to keep an eye on everyone while still keeping them separated,"
McGonagall answered briskly.
"The Slytherin's wands have been confiscated," Kingsley added.
"That's good to know," Harry muttered, sitting down with his back to the room. He recognized the silencing charm that Severus cast. No one would be able to hear them.
"I was summoned this morning," Severus said without preamble. "The Dark Lord has decided to introduce the Dementors this evening."
Harry's eyes widened, but he managed to hold all his questions in as Severus continued, summarizing what they already knew as well as providing new information.
"His forces have been drastically reduced recently. He is expecting me to bring him my Slytherin students to be marked tonight. The students who are here," he nodded to the Slytherin table, "the majority of their parents will already be in attendance. Those who are not dead or in Azkaban," he clarified.
Harry glanced at them, finding himself feeling sorry for them. He knew most of them were like Draco had been, eagerly wanting to be involved like their parents, and not truly understanding the reality. Catching Nott's malicious glare, he felt his pity dissipating rapidly.
"The parents of the students who have been at Grimmauld Place will not be involved," Severus said. "The Dark Lord's intention is to bring them over once he has ensnared their children. We will be keeping them all safe and separated for the time being. The orders will polyjuice themselves and will be taken to the Dark Lord in place of the students," he continued. "Professors Flitwick and Sinestra, as well as Hagrid and a few others, will be here to guard the students this evening."
He paused, glancing briefly at Harry.
"We have dealt with this to the best of our abilities. The concern now is the Dementors. He has had me working on a potion that would counter the effects. As I have only presented him with a potion that is partially effective, I mistakenly believe that he would not summon them until a later time."
"Do you have enough brood for our side to use as well?" McGonagall asked.
"Yes. However, I only have a limited supply of the potion that more fully protects an individual," Severus said evenly.
Harry listened as Severus explained the two potions to the others, the key point being that the more effective potion would be limited. They hadn't expected Voldemort to call for the Dementors and put them into battle until it was perfected, and was another sign that Voldemort was growing desperate, and maybe they should have anticipated this. It was too late now, though, and they would simply have to deal with the new complication. He looked back to the Gryffindor table, beginning to understand why they were here. Everyone in the DA could perform the Patronus charm. Biting his lip, he looked over at the neutral Slytherins. He'd be willing to bet that they knew the charm as well, and that's why Severus had brought them to Hogwarts. He knew Severus had already retrieved hairs from each of them for the polyjuice, and they'd been safe at Grimmauld Place. Why else would they be at Hogwarts, unless they were asked to help fight? "Severus," he said, interrupting the discussion of precisely who would receive the potions. "You can't send them out there tonight."
"We need them to drive off the Dementors so that the others can focus on the Death Eaters," Severus said calmly, but with an edge of warning.
"They're not prepared for this," Harry protested, getting to his feet.
"Harry, you have taught all of the members of your group, have you not?" Severus asked.
"Yes, but..."
"And I have taught the others. You need them there," Severus said.
"No," Harry shouted. "I don't need them. I'll have the potion."
"Even with the potion, the Dementors still affect you," Severus countered. "You will also not be the only one at this battle," he sneered.
Harry linked his hands at the back of his head. He didn't want his friends at the battle. It was enough that his family would be there. They were at least prepared for what they would be facing. The members of the DA, most of them had never even seen Voldemort before. They hadn't had to witness death. The neutral Slytherins, he'd promised to protect them, and sending them into battle was definitely not protecting them.
"It's not right," Harry muttered. "None of this is right, Potter,"
Severus said harshly. Harry was not pleased with hearing his own words directed at him, rather than him directing them at Draco this time.
"Harry, they won't be fighting," Draco said. "They'll be able to drive away the Dementors so everyone else can fight."
"You did not wish to be treated as children," Severus said snidely. Harry's head snapped up, glaring at him furiously.
"Me, not them," he said, gesturing to the Gryffindor table. "I don't want them to be subjected to the same things I've been."
He gestured to the neutral Slytherins with his other hand. "And I promised to protect them," he said.
"You promised to protect them from being forced to accept the Dark Mark," Draco pointed out. "You didn't promise to keep them away from the fight entirely."
"Do you honestly believe that your DA group cannot handle the task?" Severus asked. Harry hesitated.
"They can do it," he admitted grudgingly. "But they shouldn't have to."
"No one wants them here, Harry," Remus interjected mildly. "They are, however, needed. Of course, they will be given the choice as to whether they assist or not."
Harry stilled.
"Choice," he murmured.
"Would you care for a lemon drop?" Severus deadpanned.
Harry stared at him incredulously for a moment, along with the others, before he started laughing. It was slightly hysterical laughter, but it was laughter.
"Fine," he said, giving in and dropping back to his seat. Once past the initial shock of the idea, he had to admit that it did make sense. They couldn't afford to give up the adults who would be fighting.
"Severus, surely there is another way,"
McGonagall said, her lips pursed tightly as she cast a glance at the students.
"Certainly," Severus agreed. "We can pause in the midst of the fight to cast our Patronus, hoping we don't get hit by a curse," he said sarcastically. Harry exhaled heavily as McGonagall and Severus faced off. There were probably other ways of handling the situation, but the problem was immediate. The DA had trained to some extent. They hadn't exactly trained for battle, but they had trained specifically in regards to Dementors. It had always been one of Harry's weak points, and emphasis had definitely been placed on defending against them. He still wasn't sure about the neutral Slytherins, though, despite the fact that Severus said they knew the charm. Then again, they'd half expected to be forced to join Voldemort, and were probably even more prepared than the DA. Even if he'd appeared to be on the other side, Severus would have made sure his students were protected as well as possible.
"Potter," Severus said sharply, pulling him from his thoughts.
"What does the DA know?" Harry asked.
"They do not yet know why they are here," Severus said. "They have only been given the basics as to my presence and that of the Malfoys."
Harry snorted. "Could you tell me what the basics are?" he asked.
"That we are working for the light side," Harry said. "They do not need to know more than that."
Harry arched a brow dubiously.
"And they believe that?" he asked.
"They trust your word, Harry," Remus said mildly.
"But I haven't talked to them yet," Harry said.
"Your friends, however, have spoken on your behalf," Remus said with a smile. "I believe Ron's defense of Severus and Draco was fairly convincing."
Both of Harry's eyebrows shot up. Ron had defended them?
He exchanged a glance with Draco, who was mirroring his expression. They turned as one to look at the Gryffindor table. The members of the DA were avidly watching the interaction at the head table. Harry met Ron's gaze. Ron looked worried but determined, an expression Harry had become quite familiar with seeing on many people.
"Wish we could have heard that," Draco murmured.
Harry nodded in agreement.
"It's amazing who you will find defending others in the effort to keep everyone alive," Lucius drawled sardonically.
Harry turned back, smirking. "Aw, have you been defending me, Lucius?" he asked. "Ironic, considering just how many defenders you do have," Lucius said dryly. Harry shrugged. "Sad as it may be, I symbolize everyone's hope," he said. "It's not like it's personal for most people." He was startled by the number of glares he received for what he deemed an innocent comment. "It's personal, Potter," Draco snarled. Harry snorted. "Then maybe you shouldn't call me Potter," he said dryly. At Draco's look of frustration, Harry dropped a light kiss on his mouth. "Lucky for you, Malfoy, I know it's personal for some people," he said. Harry paced in front of the blank section of wall as he had so many times in the past. He opened the door after a slight hesitation, relieved to see their old DA defense classroom. He went to stand at the front as everyone filed into the room, with Remus bringing up the rear. Severus and Lucius were off in another room with the neutral Slytherins, speaking to them separately. If they chose to assist that evening, Severus would be sending them to Harry to practice. McGonagall, Kingsley, and the others were filling in the rest of the order. Harry and Draco had not known they would be spending the rest of the day at Hogwarts, so they'd left Harry's rucksack and the snakes at Grimmauld Place. Draco had taken Blaise and gone back to retrieve them. Draco had stated dryly that it would give Harry a chance to deal with their questions about him. Harry was a little disappointed that he wouldn't have the opportunity to see Victoria before the battle, but he was also relieved that she was safely at home, out of harm's way. Taking in a slow breath to fortify himself, he addressed the chatting members of the DA. "You might as well grab a cushion and sit down," he said. "This is going to take a while." He was surprised to see every single member there, with the exception of Marietta. 27 people. Even Cho had come. Harry had learned that, with the help of McGonagall, Hermione had had a very busy morning contacting everyone and bringing them to Hogwarts. He understood that there were a lot of upset families, but only Ginny, Luna, and the Creevy brothers weren't of age. They'd all chosen to come. Seamus had only attended one DA meeting at the end of fifth year, but even he was there, sitting with Dean and Neville. "Are you really seeing Malfoy?" Zacharias blurted out the question. "Yes," Harry answered, firmly and without a hint of apology. "He's a Death Eater, though," Lavender exclaimed. "Draco makes a lousy Death Eater," Harry said dismissively. "He tried to kill me," Katie spoke up quietly. Her voice wasn't accusing so much as questioning. "He was the one, wasn't he?" Harry hesitated. Draco had almost killed Katie, despite the fact that it hadn't been his intention. Somehow, this felt a lot different than the situation with Ron. Upon reflection, it sounded ridiculous even in his head, but he'd mentally balanced the action against Ron with the fact that he'd almost killed Draco. Katie, though, had nothing to do with any of this, and didn't fit into that equation. "Katie, I..." He paused, taking a deep breath. She deserved the truth, and Draco had essentially told Harry that he expected him to tell them. "Yes, it was Draco." Harry wasn't the only one to inhale sharply at the direct admission. "Why?" she whispered. "It was an accident," Harry said. "He wasn't trying to kill you. He was trying to get to Dumbledore," he admitted. It sounded lame even to his own ears, but he didn't want to try to explain it all. Even if he wanted to, he simply didn't have time. "That doesn't make any sense," Katie said, her voice stronger but laced with confusion. "I've never claimed Draco's always made sense or made smart decisions," he said dryly. "Has he made any smart decisions?" Justin muttered. "Yes, he chose Harry," Colin piped up. Many people in the room sniggered at that pronouncement. Harry flashed a grin before focusing on Katie again. She still looked horribly confused. I don't know what to tell you," Harry said miserably. Ron snorted loudly, drawing everyone's attention.
Bloody hell, I hate doing this, he muttered in disgust. He sucked in a deep breath. Malfoy's a prat. He's got into some serious trouble trying to save himself and his family, because you know who was a sadistic bastard. Katie and I accidentally got in the way. Dumbledore and Harry intervened. Malfoy redeemed himself this summer. He and Harry are now an item, and Merlin forbid if you get between them. End of story. He paused, breathing in. Oh, and I suggest you get over it quickly, because Harry and Malfoy are planning to save all our arses tonight. Best not to get on their bad sides. Harry stared at him incredulously. He glanced at Hermione questioningly, but she was busy gaping at Ron as well. He could only think Draco was going to be sorry he'd missed this. Now, can we move on to why we're all here? Ron asked impatiently. Harry opened his mouth, closed it again. He looked at Katie, who seemed to have the same problem. Everyone turned to look at the newcomers as the door opened. Harry's eyes widened as Draco and Blaise came into the room. Can I presume, you being who you are, you've already talked to Belle and she knows the truth? Draco asked. Harry nodded dumbly. He watched, just as shocked as everyone else, as Draco searched out Katie and presented her with a gorgeous bouquet of red and yellow roses. My apologies, Draco said formally. It was you, she breathed in realization. What she'd just figured out, Harry had no idea, but most of the girls had wide eyes, recognition expressed on their faces. Draco flushed, but he nodded once in acknowledgement. Blaise leaned close to whisper to Harry. Draco sent her the same bouquets anonymously while she was at St. Mungo's, he explained. I suspect he paid all of the medical costs as well. Harry smiled softly. There was a lot more to Draco Malfoy than any of the Gryffindors had ever guessed. He absently accepted his rucksack from Blaise, watching the quiet conversation between Katie and Draco. Katie was a kind-hearted Gryffindor. He hoped that eventually she'd be able to forgive Draco for what he'd put her through, but he was fairly certain she would at least tolerate Draco's presence so they could get through the final battle. How come I didn't get flowers? Ron asked petulantly. Hell, I didn't get an actual apology either. Draco turned to Katie, his hand touching the stem of one of the red roses. May I? He asked. Glancing at Ron and smiling despite herself, Katie nodded her permission to Draco. Draco plucked the rose out of the bouquet and sauntered over to Ron, all eyes on him. He presented the rose to Ron with a slight bow. My apologies, Weasley, he said. The situation with the flower was meant to be light-hearted and mocking. This was Draco and Ron, but Draco's voice conveyed the seriousness of his apology. Ron's face turned brilliant red. Give the bloody flower back to Katie, he said. You sure? Draco asked innocently. Bloody wanker, Ron muttered. Very well, then, Draco said. He turned and approached Harry. He trimmed the rose's stem and murmured a charm that somehow stuck it to Harry's robes, before giving Harry a quick kiss. Harry heard the dreamy sighs and rolled eyes. Evil Death Eater or not, Draco had probably just won over every girl in the room. Bloody Slytherin. Satisfied with yourself? Harry asked dryly. Yes, Draco said simply. Now can we move on to why we're all here? Ron repeated impatiently. Harry bit at his lip, still not liking this. He didn't want to ask them to get involved. The tension in the room was stifling. Many were still casting angry and nervous glances at Draco, but everyone's main focus was on Harry. They were all aware that something was up, and they'd been called to Hogwarts for a reason. Finding out that reason overrode their animosity towards Draco, although Remus's presence in the room surely helped. Harry glanced at him. You need to speak with them now, Harry, Remus said. Time is running short. Harry nodded reluctantly before facing the group again. You're here because all of you know the Patronus charm, and because the hope is that you will be willing to drive off the Dementors who will be at the battle tonight, he said. Chatter broke out at that pronouncement. Most of them hadn't known there was even to be a battle, although they'd likely guessed, considering the strange circumstances.
It took a couple minutes, but everyone eventually settled down to listen to him explain the plan for the evening. He glossed over much of his involvement, and the plans meant for his friends, focusing on what the majority of the DA members would have to do. He explained how they would get there, and what their responsibility would be. In particular, he described the vanishing cabinets that would be playing a huge role. "It's going to be chaos, and it won't be pretty," he said grimly, thinking about the battle at the ministry. Everyone gazed at him solemnly, all lingering animosity towards Draco put aside and forgotten for the time being. Compared to Voldemort, Death Eaters, and Dementors, Draco simply wasn't much of a threat. "At the signal, the Order members will come onto the scene to fight the Death Eaters. You will follow them through the cabinet, but you'll stay to the outskirts of the battle, casting the Patronus charm to protect everyone from the Dementors." "What about us?" Ginny asked, indicating herself and Blaise as well as the twins. "You and Blaise will still be helping Fred and George," Harry said. "You're not to draw attention to yourself by casting your Patronuses unless it's absolutely necessary. You are to watch their backs as well as your own. Nothing more." Ginny was frowning, but she nodded. "And us?" Hermione questioned, gesturing to Ron and herself. "Are we still your backup? Will you be able to fight with the Dementors present?" After their experiences during third year, she knew better than anyone just how badly Harry was affected by the Dementors. "You're still the only two who understand exactly what I'm doing with Nagini," Harry said with a shrug. "Yes, Dementors or not, I still need you as my backup. If Draco and I fail, you're going to have to..." "We're not going to fail," Draco interrupted, snarling the words. Harry surprised everyone when he smiled. "Well, no, we're not going to fail," he agreed, "but having Ron and Hermione covering our backs isn't a bad thing." "What about the Dementors?" Ron asked. "Me and Hermione are supposed to just stand there and watch? I need to do something." "You will be doing something, Ron," Harry said. "There's going to be so much happening, and I'm not going to be able to focus on all of it. I need you to keep watch in case things go wrong. And we're dealing with the Dementors." He swept his gaze over the group. "If you choose to be there, you'll be given a potion that will help you." "What kind of potion?" Susan asked. "One that will help keep you from feeling the Dementors' effects, so you can keep a clear head," Harry answered. "Why us?" Ernie asked. "Because I've trained you," Harry said flatly. "I've certainly never prepared you for anything like this, but you've been trained to fight off Dementors."
"And everyone already involved is needed to fight the Death Eaters," Hermione said in understanding.
"Exactly," Harry said grimly. "Look, I don't want any of you there." "Is that why you were arguing with Snape?" Ron interrupted. "Yes," Harry admitted. "He seems to think I've trained you well enough for this, but..."
"Snape thinks we can do this?"
Seamus exclaimed.
"Don't take that to mean that he likes you," Draco warned, smirking.
"It means he has faith in Harry," Ginny said.
"And Harry is the one who has faith in us," Dean added.
"Do you have faith in us, Harry?" Angelina asked.
"Because that's not what it sounds like," Alicia said.
"I do," Harry said. "I know you can do this. This is going to be extremely dangerous."
"It's going to be a lot more dangerous for you," Neville spoke up quietly.
"Well, yeah, but I'm going," Neville said.
"Me too,"
Luna said dreamily. They started a chorus of agreement. Determination was expressed on their faces and in their voices. Harry sighed in defeat. Draco shook his head in exasperation.
"Harry, you're not supposed to be disappointed when you get the support you need," he drawled.
"I'm now leading every single one of my family and friends into battle where they could be killed," Harry said bitterly. "Excuse me for not being happy about it."
Draco pushed him back. Startled, Harry found himself pinned against a wall.
"You will not talk or even think that way," Draco snarled. "You've been St. Potter today, spreading your little bits of hope, and disgusting as it may be, you're going to continue to do so, because everyone needs you."
Harry tilted his head back against the wall. He watched Remus step forward and pull everyone's attention, in theory, away from the two of them, directing everyone to practice their Patronus charm.
"This is so bloody difficult," he muttered.
"Harry, you..."
"Fuck it," Draco said in frustration, before crushing Harry's lips under his own. Harry slowly relaxed under the assault. He tugged to free his hands and twined them in Draco's hair. Draco's response was to move his hands to Harry's hips and press him tighter against the wall.
"Harry! Draco!"
"What?"
they growled, breaking apart to glare at Remus. Remus sighed.
"Could the two of you please remember that you have an audience?" he requested. "An audience that is not accustomed to your relationship?"
They shifted so they could both see out into the room.
"I'm becoming rather familiar with these gobsmacked expressions," Draco said pleasantly.
Harry sniggered, pushing Draco away from him.
"Come on, you prat. We have work to do."
Draco arched a brow, but he was smirking. "Feel better?" he asked. Harry stuck his tongue out before turning his back on him.
"Harry's gone mental," Seamus breathed.
"No, he's in love," Ron said in disgust.
"Same thing, isn't it?" Fred asked cheerfully.
"Oi, you can all shut up about me and work on your Patronuses," Harry said, exasperated.
Hermione pulled him aside, shaking her head in regards to Harry's antics.
"I can't believe you're snogging in front of everyone," she said.
"What? It's not like everyone hasn't seen couples snogging before," Harry pointed out, smiling innocently. "It's a regular occurrence in everyone's common rooms."
Hermione grimaced, and Harry was certain she was remembering Ron and Lavender. The majority of the Gryffindors had ignored them, as snogging couples was a common occurrence. Hermione, though, had been upset and jealous every time she'd seen them.
"Yes, but none of the other couples are you and Malfoy. When you two snog, or have any kind of interaction together, people pay attention," she said.
"I reckon it's one way to help keep everyone distracted," she added dryly. "I'll take whatever works at the moment," he said, glancing around the room. Everyone was working on the Patronus charm, but they were also gossiping about Harry and Draco. Better that than letting fear of the upcoming battle overwhelm them.
"I hadn't actually planned this, though," he said. "Draco was just..."
He trailed off, not really wanting to discuss his insecurities and concerns.
"Are you keeping Malfoy together, or is he keeping you together?"
Hermione asked curiously, clearly understanding that it had been far more than a snog for pleasure's sake. Harry glanced at Draco, who was now working with Fred and George, further shocking the majority of the people in the room. He was smart to stick with them if he wasn't around Harry, as several people were watching him with extreme suspicion. Everyone knew better, though, than to tangle with the twins.
"Both," Harry admitted. "You're taking turns keeping each other calm and focused," Hermione said, tilting her head as she studied him. "You balance each other out somehow."
He nodded in agreement, still watching Draco.
"Harry," she said his name hesitantly.
"What?" he asked suspiciously, giving her his full attention.
"I'm just scared," Hermione admitted. "I mean, I know you're worried about us, but we really don't have to do much. Most of us, all we have to do is cast our Patronus. That's it. You, though, Harry, I'm terrified."
"Good thing you're bringing this up after Draco snogged me," he muttered.
"It did seem the better time," Hermione agreed, giving him a small smile. "You're calmer, not as frustrated."
Considering that she was talking about being scared, she was hiding it well. Harry wondered if it was one of their Gryffindor traits.
"I can't believe I'm saying this," she went on, "but I understand why you're taking Malfoy with you tonight."
"Do you?" Harry asked in surprise. I thought
you and Ron might be angry about it."
Severus had been the one to explain the actual plans for the battle, the night they'd told the Weasleys about everything, after sending Harry and Draco home due to the fighting. Harry hadn't had to face them when they'd found out that Draco would be the one standing next to him when it came time to deal with Voldemort. He hadn't been stupid enough to bring it up, and no one else had mentioned it directly until now.
"We were, a bit, at first," Hermione admitted. "We've been through so many things with you, and, well, ridiculous as it is, we wanted to be there when you face Voldemort."
"You will be there," Harry said.
"But Malfoy will be with you," Hermione said.
"And I'm all right with that," she said quickly, "because if he can center you and get you through this..." She cut herself off and flung her arms around Harry, hugging him fiercely.
"What are you doing with my girlfriend, Harry?" Ron asked, throwing an arm around Harry's shoulders. Harry glanced up at him, not answering at first.
Merlin, he didn't want anything to happen to his friends.
He swallowed heavily, working to come up with something that would break the tension.
"I'm giving her pointers on how to deal with your boyfriend when he decides to give flowers to someone else," he said. "She's consoling me."
Ron stared blankly for a moment, before he let out a loud guffaw. Hermione started giggling in his arms. She pulled back, fingering the soft petals of the rose on his robes.
"He's a romantic gentleman underneath all those sneers and glares, isn't he?" she said.
Harry nodded, smiling. "He's an aristocratic arse is what he is," Ron muttered.
"He's that too," Harry agreed, his smile turning into a wide grin. They had been working on their Patronus charms for at least 30 minutes, and it took Harry a few seconds to realize why everyone was suddenly stopping. He turned to see Lucius and Severus entering with the neutral Slytherins. With a sweep of his arms, Severus gestured for all the students to stand at the edges of the room, and they moved quickly to obey.
"What are you doing?" Harry asked, frowning at him in confusion.
"Training," Severus said curtly. "The rest of you will observe." He closed his eyes briefly in concentration, and the room provided shields to protect the other students. Lucius was casting a spell before they were even fully in place. "Intercept him." Harry spun on his heel sharply. He blocked Lucius's curse, but he'd felt Remus's magic as he cast a levy corpus.
"Stoop!"
He blocked the curse from Severus and ducked the Petrificus from Remus. He managed to block Lucius's next spell, but had to roll to avoid the one from Severus. They'd started in fast with hexes and continued to up the speed, moving constantly around him. Severus caught him with a stinging hex, but he managed to hold onto his wand when Remus swiftly cast Expelliarmus. He paid for it, though, as he went flying backwards with Lucius's next curse. They didn't ease up, but he closed his eyes and caught the feel of their magic again, casting Interceptum in rapid succession. He blocked their next curses, managing to scramble to his feet again in the process. He didn't have time to attack, he could only defend. The curses continued, coming at him faster.
Stupefy!
Harry felt Draco's magic and opened his eyes in time to see Lucius turn to block his son. Severus was aiming for Draco and Harry swiftly blocked it, along with the curse that came a second later from Remus. The two of them circled back to back in the middle of the room, with Harry defending and Draco directing offensive spells. They were gaining ground, but they were still outnumbered.
Incarcerus!
Harry wasn't positive, but he was fairly certain the dual shout came from Ginny and Blaise. Suddenly, though, Remus and Lucius were bound, caught unaware by the spells. Harry and Draco had only Severus left to face. It became a duel of two against one, and Severus was not holding back any longer. Harry and Draco stood side by side, one defending, one attacking. Unfortunately, Severus was still far more experienced than either of them.
"Shield the next one, then attack," Harry muttered quickly.
Harry leapt to the side, away from Draco. As soon as he felt the magic of the next curse, he began shouting offensive spells, both he and Draco suddenly attacking. The tables turned, and Severus was now on the defensive. Within a minute, they had pushed forward and Severus was stupefied. Draco and Harry dropped to their knees, breathing heavily and sweat pouring off of them. Remus and Lucius had been released at some point. Harry had missed that. And Remus calmly revived Severus, who managed to look disgustingly collected, all things considered.
The room was quiet. On one side of the room stood the Slytherins. On the opposite side stood the DA. In the middle, along the far wall, stood Harry's friends, which made Harry realize that he considered Blaise one of his friends now, as he was standing with them. Everyone was staring at Harry, Draco, and Severus, stunned by what they'd just witnessed. Harry frowned, trying to figure out what Severus's purpose was for this little demonstration. Severus never did anything without a reason. "We're not even going to be dueling tonight," he said aloud, trying to puzzle Severus's motives. "You cannot know that for certain," Severus said sharply. "It is best to be prepared for whatever might occur." His narrowed gaze traveled around the room, causing all of the students to stand straighter as his eyes swept past them. "I should hope that all of you have been reassured that Mr. Potter is indeed prepared for this encounter," he said. Harry blinked in surprise as everyone nodded. So Severus had set this up to prove Harry Potter was worthy of their trust. Looking at the students with new perspective, he had to admit that he did see hints of relief in their features. "It will not be a training exercise tonight," Severus said. "Your job is to cast your Patronuses and drive back the Dementors. However, there is absolutely no guarantee that you will not have to fight otherwise. You are not to foolishly go out into the center of the battle, but it is certainly feasible that some of them will try to run, with the anti-apparition spells that will be placed over the area. They will come towards you. They will not hesitate to curse you in their bid for freedom. They will be formidable opponents, but, as has just been proven, it is quite possible for you to take them down, if you work together," he emphasized. "Mr. Potter is not without his own considerable skills. However, he was not able to work alone." He nodded sharply to Ginny and Blaise. "Sneak attacks are to your advantage. If you see someone needing assistance, do not wait until they are already weakened before stepping in." He cast a warning glance at Draco. Draco's eyes widened marginally before he nodded his understanding. The training had technically been intended for Harry, but it had been several minutes before Draco, or Ginny and Blaise, had stepped in to assist. His breathing slowly evening out, Harry observed the students held spellbound by Severus's words. They'd been wide-eyed at the end of the duel, but now their expressions were grim. Grim, but determined as well. They may or may not fully understand exactly what they were walking into, but they were fully aware of the seriousness of the situation, and they were prepared to do their part. Harry fell backwards, stretching out on the floor. Beside him, Draco mimicked his actions. That had been the most intense training session they'd ever had. They lay in the center of the floor as they continued to listen to Severus addressing the students. "I want trios rather than pairings," Severus said. "As you've witnessed, it will be more effective if one of you is defending while the other is attacking. The third will be responsible for defending against the Dementors. I am aware of your skills," he sneered. "Shortly, Lupin and I will be helping you to select groupings based on your abilities." He stepped closer to Harry and Draco, towering over them. "You need to choose one to join Weasley and Granger," he said. "Neville," Harry answered promptly. Draco choked beside him, and Severus sneered in disgust. "Longbottom?" Draco exclaimed, sitting up to stare down at Harry incredulously. Harry moved swiftly, shoving Draco back down and rolling until he was straddling Draco's hips and had him pinned to the floor. Draco didn't bother struggling, just continued to stare at Harry with an expression that clearly stated he thought Harry had finally lost his mind. "Yes, Draco," Harry said, eyes narrowed. "The same Longbottom who has been bravely putting up with yours and Severus's shite all these years. The same Longbottom who has spent countless hours training with me. The same Longbottom who didn't back down when faced with an impossible situation." He glanced up. "Isn't that right, Lucius?" he sneered. Lucius's nostrils flared. "The boy did appear to be as pig-headed and foolish as you," he agreed coolly. getting his own jibe in against Harry. Harry glared back down at Draco. Recognition was shining in Draco's eyes now. He'd always associated the events at the Ministry in fifth year with Harry, like everyone else, and had obviously forgotten that Neville had been there as well. Harry hadn't brought it up, touchy subject as it was, but he suddenly wondered if Lucius had explained those events in detail to Draco. "It's Neville's choice, but he's earned the right to be here tonight," he said. "You know what else? You should hope Neville chooses to be a part of our backup, because he'll watch your back as well as mine." "Why would Longbottom protect me?" Draco demanded. "Because you are standing with Harry," Neville answered, stepping forward from the wary crowd. He stood tall, but his eyes darted nervously between Draco, Severus, and Lucius. "Your Patronus," Severus commanded. Neville took a deep breath, closed his eyes briefly in concentration, then cast his Patronus as ordered. A large silver dog erupted from the end of his wand. "A Newfoundland," Severus murmured. "Loyal and protective. Courageous but quiet. Powerful but gentle." Harry raised his brows, surprised that Severus recognized the traits of Neville's Patronus. He wouldn't have thought Severus knew much about dogs. He certainly wasn't fond of the animals. Neville stood proudly, his eyes no longer darting about wildly. He met Severus's appraising stare steadily. Severus glanced back down at Harry. "Boy who lived," he stated. Harry nodded, knowing Severus was making the connection to the prophecy. It could just as easily have been Neville, in Harry's current position, having to face Voldemort. "He doesn't have to fight, but he is choosing to anyway," he said. "You have no choice," Severus said harshly. Harry shot to his feet. "Yes, I do," he said fiercely. "I could run and hide, but I'm choosing to fight. I'm fighting to live."
"Neither can live while the other survives," Severus murmured, the words almost inaudible.
Harry jerked his head in a nod. He could see the regret in Severus's eyes, and knew Severus cared. He was fairly certain Severus was regretting that it was not Neville who was the boy who lived instead of Harry. Severus cared about him, Harry Potter. Severus was afraid, and that's why he was so angry. Harry stepped forward abruptly and hugged Severus tightly. "I'm not going to die," he said, his voice muffled by Severus's robes. Severus hugged him just as tightly, but only for a second, before shoving him away.
"You will live," he snarled.
"Yes, sir," Harry said, with determination and confidence.
"Very well, then," Severus said. "Longbottom, you will join Weasley and Granger."
Smiling, Harry reached over and touched two fingers under Neville's chin, gently urging him to close his mouth. "I'll explain where you'll need to be in a few minutes. Why don't you go stand with Ron and Hermione?" he suggested. Neville nodded mechanically, slowly backing away from them.
"I almost feel sorry for him," Draco said conversationally. "For once, I actually understood the conversation you two just had, but I know he didn't understand a word of it."
Harry shrugged, smiling ruefully, but he wasn't able to hold back the wince from the twinge in his shoulder. Obviously, the latest dose of potion was wearing off, and he'd aggravated his shoulder again with the dueling. Draco stood, automatically reaching into his pocket, retrieving another vial.
"You should take something stronger,"
Remus spoke up in concern. "No, this'll do," Harry said, plucking the vial from Draco's fingers. He refused to start taking the addictive potions, even for the evening's battle. He wouldn't be admitting defeat before he started, and he couldn't do it. He'd have time to heal properly after the battle, and wouldn't need the potion so often. Severus was studying him calculatingly, and gave him a nod of acknowledgement and understanding. Draco looked between the two of them in confusion, before throwing his hands up.
"And once again, I don't have a clue as to what just happened," he said. "How am I supposed to understand if you don't even say anything?"
"I just refuse to be conquered by my own body," Harry said. It wasn't the entire reason, but it was enough of an explanation to bring recognition to Draco's eyes. Draco's eyes then sparkled with mischievousness.
"So does that mean that I'm allowed to conquer your body?" he asked slyly.
"Enough," Severus said sharply. Harry grinned at Draco, grateful for the ease of tension, even if Severus didn't appreciate it. Draco slid an arm around his waist as they watched Severus and Remus start forming the students into groups. Everyone was certainly feeling a great deal of shock, easing the interactions, and Harry found himself hoping that it never wore off. It almost made him wish he wasn't planning to kill Voldemort, because he knew that was the reason everyone was being so cooperative. Working together peacefully was what he needed, what they needed, but he couldn't help wondering what it would be like later, assuming they all survived.
"You know, Dumbledore would be real proud of all of us," Harry said. "Working together, unity of the houses."
Draco cast a sidelong glance at him.
"I think he would," he agreed.
Harry irreverently sat on the head table, Draco beside him. He was swinging his legs back and forth, but Draco sat rigidly.
"Harry, stop it," Draco hissed.
"Draco, we're getting away with sitting on the head table," Harry said. "I'm going to enjoy it." Draco's hand clamped onto Harry's thigh, effectively stilling the movement.
"All right, so I'm not going to enjoy it," Harry said.
He had thought sitting on the head table was more appropriate than snogging Draco senseless in front of all these people, but he was about ready to change his mind. They'd snuck away for some private time earlier, but now they couldn't leave. It was almost time. Everyone was waiting tensely for Voldemort to summon his Death Eaters. Lucius and Severus stood nearby, ready to leave at a moment's notice. Along with Harry, they would be the only ones to leave when the Dark Mark burned. Everyone else would be going through the Vanishing Cabinet. One of the cabinets was in Harry's pocket. The other was already enlarged to its normal size and standing prominently in front of the head table. Speeches, warnings, instructions, potions, they'd all been given. Harry knew a lot of people surely thought he was mental, but after the day he'd just had, he felt like he finally understood why Dumbledore always acted like he was barmy. There was something about it that distracted people, at least a little, from the stress they were feeling. He'd had his own moments throughout the day where he'd allowed the stress to get to him, but for the most part, he'd kept up appearances, taking his lessons from Dumbledore. Right now, he was feeling fairly calm, the calm before the storm. Draco wasn't, though. Draco was ready to panic. Harry stared at Draco's hand, still gripping his thigh, and he remembered that song he'd heard. He held out his own hand, palm up, offering it to Draco. "Take my hand, and we'll make it, I swear," he quoted softly. Draco's eyes widened in recognition for a brief second, before his scowl returned. He released Harry's thigh, though, and laced their fingers together.
"Living on a fucking prayer," he muttered darkly.
Harry didn't know why he remembered the lyrics to that song, but he did. Some of them, anyway. He quoted a couple more of the lines that had struck home for him. "We've got to hold on, ready or not. You live for the fight when it's all you've got." Draco's eyes closed.
"Fuck, I'm not ready," he said.
Harry rested his head on Draco's shoulder, closing his eyes as Draco rested his own head on top of Harry's.
"I'm scared too," Harry whispered.
They sat in silence for a minute.
"We'll make it?"
Draco asked, squeezing Harry's hand.
"I swear," Harry answered, squeezing back.
"You're a bloody Gryffindor, so I'm holding you to your word," Draco warned. Harry smiled.
"So now you're recognizing me as a Gryffindor again?" he asked, wishing he could see Draco's expression, but not wanting to move.
"Yes," Draco said promptly. "A foolish, idiotic Gryffindor."
"What does this make you, since you're meeting me there?"
Harry asked curiously.
"A foolish, idiotic Slytherin," Draco muttered in disgust.